Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Ellard.
That would be very weird.
Do you know where that is? That felt like one of those where you're just like, I've been there kind of thing.
It sounds familiar.
It's west of Bruce.
Oh, yes. Now I know for a fact that I have been there because my grandfather was a coach at Ellard back in like the 1950s.
Well, there you go.
And I obviously no longer a school there, but my dad, I think, was actually like born there. Like they lived there for maybe like a year or something. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I do know where Ellard is now that you mention it.
There we go.
My grandfather was also the coach at Brooksville High School.
Man, the man got around. He was a winner.
He did. He was a man's man.
There you go. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away. StrangeBrewCoffeeHouse.com. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. Whatever role you play in your business, Pip Printing and Signs has a great plan for you. You just got to call and ask them about it. And don't forget, if you're a Mississippi State fan and you own a business, you can become a Bulldog Initiative business just by doing business. I'm saying business a lot. With Pip Printing and Signs. You just got to give them a call and tell them you heard about
it. Mike Bonner?
Huh? Yeah.
Is that hashtag, Mike Bonner?
Hashtag business. Give Cam Baker a call. Talk to him about your business. Talk to him about what it is you're looking for. What's your vision? And he can help you achieve it. That number is 601-499-5216. Cam, tell Cam you heard about it here on Thunder and Lightning. When you need printing, call Pip Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for, and you are certainly looking for it. We are almost at the start of this football season. If you haven't changed out that polo already, you need to do it right away. Get the state script, get the interlock, and get the M over S. Don't get the banner M. Time to move on. We're all moving forward. We're not looking behind. Do that today. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, followed by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. And, of course, there is the College Corner location in Oxford. Not a lot of Mississippi State merchandise, if any, at that location. But one Mississippi State person will be there later today, and his name is Brian Haydad. So if you're in the Oxford area and want to come by and say hello to me and Michael Borky, please do so. We'll be at the College Corner over on Sisk Avenue in Oxford. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. We went there a couple weeks ago, but I'm ready for that next trip already. So we need to make that happen very, very soon. My favorite lunch in town. I love a great blue plate. I love the catfish at Restaurant Tyler. I love the cheese grits and the mac and cheese. I love the fried chicken. But, you know, I haven't had the pork chops in a while. Maybe that's next time I swear I'm going to go. That's the great news. I got a lot of options, a lot of great choices on the menu at Restaurant Tyler. For the best meal in town, it's easy to find. It's at Restaurant Tyler. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. They are nearby if you live in Central Mississippi. You can't go too far without finding one. That means it's going to be easy for you to bank with them, and it's going to be easy for you to have a great relationship with your bank. PriorityOneBank.com is the website. You can check them out to find out the location nearest you and also to show you all the different ways Priority One Bank can help you manage your money, help you invest, and help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, you want to have a great relationship with your bank, and you want to be able to get answers when you have questions. You don't want to deal with a 1-800 number and being on hold. You want to be able to call somebody, they pick up the phone, and you can talk to them. You get that with Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. I know we're, you know, neither one of us are much for gambling, you know, in, out there. You know, you and I know you're a man of the cloth, basically, over there. So gambling's not really up your.
I don't know about that. It's mostly I'm just cheap, and I don't want to throw money down the drain.
We try to limit it to the dinner we have to buy at the end of the football season. But, you know, sports gambling is such a big deal now. And every week on Sports Talk Mississippi, we go through all the relevant lines for the week. And yesterday, when we did that on the show, we talked about Mississippi State. Mississippi State, a 24.5-point favorite over Eastern Kentucky. And, Robbie, you know, I'm not trying to say that Mississippi State is going to be a dominant football team all season long and, you know, going to destroy everybody they play. But that's a ridiculous line. And I'll just tell you, if State doesn't cover it or is within 2 to 3 points of it, we're going to have a contentious podcast on Monday because that is not acceptable. When you look at how State has played against FCS opponents for the last decade plus, going all the way back even to Croom's time here, you know, since the main game, I guess, every game has been a dominant win, except for one. And I will tell you now that if they had played that game first, that season 2016, you kind of had an idea that wasn't a great team early because they lost that first game to South Alabama. But the way they played against an FCS opponent was criminal, and that's when you kind of knew that Peter Sermon was going to be a short timer at Mississippi State. But even last year, Robbie, with Zach Arnett and that whole situation and, you know, what we learned in hindsight there, they still won the game by 41 points. In 2022, the FCS opponent, 56-7 was the final score. 2021, the FCS opponent, 55-10 was the final score. 2019, 45-7. 2018, 63-6. 2017, 49-0. I already mentioned 2016. 2015, 62-13. 2014, 45-16. 2013, 51-7. 2012, 56-9. 2011, where are they? 55-17. 2010, 49-16. And the first year of the Mullen era, 2009, 45-7. So you've got 15 years of evidence here that says this game doesn't need to be close in any way, shape, or form. In terms of this, look, last year, that 48-7 was a little flattering to Mississippi State. They did not dominate the game on the field as much as that scoreline would make you believe they did. But the scoreline itself should be dominating. Robbie, I don't feel like I'm out of pocket by telling you I think State should nearly double this point spread in this game.
I think we're at the point now of the still the off season, I guess, but we're at the point of the preseason here where everyone outside of Mississippi State, maybe even a lot of people inside here, just don't know anything about this team. So they're just automatically suggesting that this program is going to be terrible. I saw some dude yesterday had Blake Shapen last on his quarterback rankings, and then some of his responses to the Mississippi State fans suggest that maybe he has something against Mississippi State. I mean, it was very strange how he was responding to that. But I think that's where we are now. I think everybody just thinks Mississippi State's going to suck, and that's fine. I think it all goes back to the fact that there has been no evidence looking at this team that suggests we should be super optimistic about them. So I totally understand that. But having said that, an SEC team going up against a bad FCS team should destroy them by more than 24 points.
Yeah.
And just like you said, if State comes out in this ball game and it's very close, or, you know, it is, or, you know, Eastern Kentucky covers, then you have some issues there. I don't think that's going to be the case. This is one of the games that I feel confident Mississippi State is going to come out and dominate from start to finish. I think Jeff Lebby's going to want to prove something offensively. I think they're going to be too difficult to stop for this defense. They're not going to have the depth. They're not going to have the talent to stay on the field. Mississippi State should stomp this team. And again, if they don't, you have some major issues here. So, yeah, I don't – the line being what that is just wild to me.
Yeah, and again, the thing that strikes me about that, Robbie, is it's the people who make these lines aren't biased. They aren't, you know, they aren't triggered by outside and external factors. This is about Las Vegas, right? As soulless and as professional as it can be, because it's about making money. And yet, even they look at this, and I'm not one of these guys. You know, people have been hitting on us about the history of MSU defensively. State's never been that bad defensively, except for this one time. And that's irrelevant to me, right? Each season,
yeah, it doesn't matter.
But this is a historical trend. I feel like that is you have to be able to look at and say, SEC team versus FCS team, they're going to win by 35 plus without a whole lot of effort. So that's just, I just found it really, really surprising when you look at that. And I found this rating you were talking about from a, I don't know what his real name is. Let me see if I can find it.
I hate when people use that as their names.
Yeah, like his name.
If you're trying to be a serious person, don't use a punny name as your Twitter account.
Vern Funquist, host of the Locked On Gamecocks pod. Well, there's part of our problem there. Probably a big Brad Crawford guy.
Locked On Gamecocks, okay.
Yeah. So he rated the 16 quarterbacks in the conference, had Milroe first, which never mind Chapin last. Milroe first is an affront to God and man. I can't get over it. I like Milroe. I think he takes a lot of heat that maybe he shouldn't. He's a good athlete and a good quarterback, but first over Beck and Ewers and Dart, no chance. No chance that that's the case.
Lenore Sellers is five spots higher than Blake Chapin, who's Lenore Sellers, who's not taken a meaningful snap since he's been in college.
Ewers fifth, awful. That's terrible. Yeah. Sellers 11th, and then Chapin's. I just don't get it. I don't get what people are. Hey, here's the thing, like, agitating the Mississippi State fan base, that's not great for aggregation, right? State isn't the biggest fan base. You want to aggregate, you want to get content, you want to get clicks, you know, put Garrett Nussmeier at like 12th. That'll get you some, you know, what that is just simply putting out there that, like, I don't really know what I'm talking about. And I'm not I think Chapin's going to be a top five quarterback in the conference or anything, but he is far better than the 16th best quarterback in this conference.
And I can guarantee you that his numbers are going to be better than the bottom half. Because if you're a college football fan and you know who Jeff Lebby is and you see his track record, you can say what you want to about Mississippi State. You can say that they're going to win three games, four games this year, whatever you want to say. But to not think that Blake Chapin is going to be probably middle of the pack to upper echelon in the SEC for stats is just mind-boggling to me. Just by default, Jeff Lebby's quarterbacks have put up numbers everywhere he's been at this point. And Blake Chapin has played in the Power Four and played at a very high level. If you did any kind of research on Mississippi State and you saw the players they got out of the transfer portal and they have some options around Blake Chapin and you know that they're going to run with tempo and you know that Jeff Lebby's going to put up points, it's impossible to have him at 16th in the league. It's impossible. There's no one that can convince me that he's not going to have better numbers than – the Vanderbilt quarterback, probably even Peyton Thorne at Auburn. We've seen him last year. Lenore Sellers, we're supposed to believe that South Carolina is going to be really good offensively after losing Juice Wells and Spencer Rattler. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that bugs me. Just putting Mississippi State at the bottom by default is what bugs me. If you're not willing to do any kind of research – it's annoying. Now, if you're going to bring some facts to the table, and you're going to say, well, you know, this is a West Coast offense they're running. It doesn't fit their personnel. This is a pro style offense. Doesn't fit their personnel. They're trying to force the air raid. That's fine. But to look at Jeff Lebby's track record and know that everywhere he has been, the offense has been successful year one, year two, year three, whatever, and taking a quarterback that has played in the Power Five and been successful and putting him last in the league, it makes no sense to me. And then reacting the way that you do after Mississippi State fans question it and, you know, acting childish about it, that just – further to me cements the fact that the rankings really don't matter. But we've given him 5 or 10 minutes here that probably didn't deserve.
Probably didn't deserve it, but it just kind of is what it is. So,
and please, for the love of God, will you just put your real name on there instead of
his name?
If
is
you're
Chris
going
Moore,
to make a list,
I found it out. I figured it out.
If you are going to make a list, you cannot have a gimmick name.
Yeah.
If you want some kind of credibility.
There's the other side of this coin, by the way, today. I don't know if you saw this tweet that's going around, and I've seen some people retweeting it, saying that Mississippi State has this. I don't know who Jordan Berkeley is. He looks like he's just a person.
That's one of those fake accounts.
Just so stupid. This is one that's like, well, let me go ahead and mute him after this. But by the way, some of the other trolls got in my mentions, like, I'm glad you said that about Kink Sutherland, and I just muted them. It's like you guys are just popping up. It's like whack-a-mole here.
Kink has been nice to me. He's on my good side for now.
Never. Not under any circumstances. But anyway, 5-star Blake Shapen, 5-star Michael Van Buren, 4-star Jake Weir. The guy's a walk-on.
He's trolling. You not see he's trolling? He's trying to get Ole Miss fans upset, and it worked. I saw 2 or 3 Ole Miss troll accounts come in and correct them on those.
Wow. There's trolling. I like a nice, subtle, easy troll. I don't like, I'm going to put something out that's completely dumb troll. Like, I can't deal with that.
Well, this guy's not a good troll. I've already had run-ins with him before. He's terrible at it. I called him out immediately. He got upset about it. And you're getting the content that you're talking about right now. And you're giving him airtime.
I didn't know. I'm sorry.
We've given Vern Funquist and fake middle-aged dude, or fake, I don't know how old he is, but he's pretending a middle-aged guy. We're giving these guys too much airplay.
Well, we're just desperate for content at this point. Like, tomorrow's show takes care of itself, but today it's like, what the hell are we going to talk about? Thankfully, the content gods blessed us. We'll talk about that in just a minute. When we come back here from this break, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. This weekend, whether you're in the Junction tailgating or whether you're at home watching the games, enjoy beef. Nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. I was at Walmart. You know, I give Kroger a lot of credit, but I had to go to Walmart and just went by. They've got a lot of cuts there in the meat department that are fantastic. Skirt steaks, flank steaks, beef ribs. Go give them a look, man. There's plenty of great red meat there to throw on the grill this weekend and enjoy yourself. It's college football season. That means it's tailgating season. That means it's grilling season. Take advantage of it. Nothing beats beef. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. If you're going to be in Starkville this weekend, a trip to Two Brothers is a must. You need to get over there and enjoy a prime rib sandwich, some smoked wing, perhaps some pork rind nachos. I don't know if any famous people like those or not, but they are quite good. And if you can find a way to get in there, if you can find a table, because everybody's going to want one, you need to head to the Older Brother. If you haven't been to the Older Brother yet, if you haven't checked it out, it's a fantastic new place to eat. They got those fancy sandwiches up in there at the Older Brother, and I definitely encourage you to go try them out. Two Brothers Smoked Meats, the Older Brother, two of the best restaurants in Starkville, right there in the heart of the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to promise. But I turned into Dr. Evil there. He promised it to me.
I thought you dropped the S bomb.
No, I didn't.
Sounded very similar.
Yeah, well, I didn't do it. So, great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. Advantage Business Systems delivers it to you, and they've been doing it for 50 years. 50. 50. So this business you own, if you need technology for it, you know who to call. And then if you need service on something that they sold you, it's, again, it's just a phone call away. It's not a 1-800 number. It's not being on hold for 45 minutes. It's not an out-of-state technician that takes a week to 10 days to get to you. Who can afford to wait a week to 10 days on a broken copier or a broken printer? Nobody. Don't do it. Call Advantage Business Systems and find out what kind of difference they provide by being a Mississippi business just like you. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. If you could only see me today, I guess you'll see me later today on Sports Talk Mississippi. See, I'm wearing this great new maroon polo with the state script that I got at Maroon & Company. Feels fantastic, super comfortable, looks great. Had some lovely ladies at the dentist's office today tell me, oh, Brian, you look so good today. And I was like, well, thank you. Thank you. And I gave full credit to my new maroon polo from Maroon & Co. And that could be you. So head to Maroon & Co. this weekend when you're in Starkville. Pick up some of their great new gear, stuff you can't find anywhere else. They've got all the logos that you want, and we're going to save you a little money. Our promo code is THUNDER15, 15% off all regular priced items. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to Davis-Wade Stadium Saturday, make sure you take a trip to Maroon & Co.
A lot of camo coming in this week, by the way. Yeah. Came in Thursday. They have the state script Bottomland shirt. They have a Bottomland state script hat. They have the Greenleaf state script hat. So it's got a patch on the front with a rope. I mean, just some absolute fire coming in this weekend. Perfect timing for game day. So yeah. Go check them out. If you're in town Thursday, Friday, or I guess – yeah, I guess if you're listening today, it'd be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, whatever. Go check them out.
Cool. Sometimes, you know, like I said, Robbie, we're just sitting around. We're like, oh, gosh. Especially like the couple of days before the first game, information is just at a premium. And you're like, what are we going to talk about? Then sometimes your prayers are just answered. And people say stuff and you can just talk about it. And Joe Moorhead decided to do us one last solid, Robbie, I guess. Interviewed for a podcast by Adam Brenneman.
That sounds right.
Sure. And basically said that Mississippi State, that he wasn't to blame for what went wrong here at Mississippi State. And here's one of the quotes here. Sometimes you get caught in the tidal wave of a revisionist history narrative and there's no one to correct it. We have to preface our remarks here. We both like Joe Moorhead. I thought he was a great guy, good person. And from an offensive standpoint, I think he is a good football coach. When he has the talent around him and when he's the offensive coordinator, when there's another voice, you know, he talked about having 51% of the vote. Maybe he's better off with 49%. You know, he can make suggestions, not necessarily make decisions. But I'm also, something else he used to say a lot was point the thumb, not the finger. And in this instance, Robbie, he is very much pointing the finger at Mississippi State for basically pulling the plug on his tenure too early, in his opinion. I've talked about this before. His 2018 team would have gone undefeated in the regular season had they scored in every game 25 points. That is not a lot of points per game.
That's it.
Let me just see where I'm not talking about averaging 25 points per game. Just if they had just scored 25 points in every game, that would have been enough to go undefeated. He had the top-ranked defense in the country, four first-rounders on it. Three first-rounders on it, plus a ton of other guys who got drafted into the NFL. And he basically found that team's floor and got to it. So 25 points per game last year would have been good for 79th in scoring offense. I don't know. My thought process is this. He does the podcast. You know you're probably going to get asked about that. I'm not saying I hate the word classy, but there's a way to answer that question and say, you know, it just didn't work out the way we wanted it to. I would have liked to have had more time, but they at the time they determined that the program wasn't trending in the right direction. But that's not the way he went. And he basically made it sound like, hey, these guys told me that as long as I went to bowl games and beat Ole Miss, I would be fine. And then the guys who took over for me didn't do it much better. So I don't know. Were you surprised by these comments? We'll just start there.
No, I was not surprised.
Okay.
But it doesn't make them any more erroneous. I mean, you get off a jet, and the first thing you do is walk over to MSU players and you ask them what their ring sizes are. And you tell Nick Fitzgerald to clear out the trophy case. You're going to have some trophies coming your way. And after you do that, you have quite possibly the greatest defense of all time on the other side of the field. And you are an offensive genius, self-proclaimed, that just had one of the better offenses in the country. All you had to do is just kind of do your thing on offense. Really, if you're a really good offensive coordinator, you can work around the pieces that you have. You don't try to fit a square peg in a round hole or whatever. And you have the number one defense. You have three first-round draft picks on that side of the ball. You're hand-delivered a 10-win season plus. All you had to do is just put a solid offense on the field. Instead, you took a 10-win team and made them an 8-win team. And you followed that up with a 6-win team the next year. And your program was a complete disaster in the form of discipline and accountability and things like that. That's something that he didn't bring up in the conversation. What about the quarterback getting his eye socket broken by the linebacker? What about all the players that were skipping bowl practice or showing up late? What about, you know, the issues that they had in the hotel at, you know, during the bowl game, and then the performance in the bowl game itself? So he failed to talk about all the other things that were happening. He just talked about the wins and losses and painted it like Mississippi State has unrealistic expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had the gall to compare what he did to Dan Mullen, who took over an absolute dumpster fire of a program for the last decade and made it the number one team in the country. And he is the person that left you the greatest defense in Mississippi State history and left you the greatest running quarterback in Mississippi State history to give you the opportunity to get to 10 wins. And instead, you gave Mississippi State fans 8 and told them that, Nick Saban, you know, struggled in his first year. I didn't have the 85 Bears out there. So, yeah, it was complete and utter bull crap.
Pack the fans, too. Don't forget. Told them they could go kick rocks and pound sand.
Yep.
There. So,
and you're talking about a guy now that, and again, I like Joe Moorhead a lot as a person. He was a great guy to deal with. He was really good to us. He was a little too locked in on what was being said in the media.
What's being said on things like this podcast. Yes.
But I will give him credit for one thing. He recruited extremely well. He was correct that he recruited probably as well as Mississippi State has recruited. Look at the players, the best players that Mississippi State had for the most part the last few years were his guys.
Yeah.
Those were his players. He recruited a really good group of players in his, you know, two or three recruiting classes that he had. So he deserves that credit. But to compare yourself to what Dan Mullen did when you were hand-delivered rosters that were built for 10 wins the first year, probably 9 wins the next year, and you didn't follow through with it was ridiculous. And we're now being – it's now being reiterated here with his job at Akron and what he's doing there that he's really struggling to run a program. I know he did it at Fordham, but he's followed up Mississippi State where he didn't hit expectations despite what he said that Mark Keenum or whatever told him. He's following that up with 4 wins in 2 years at Akron, and he's going to get obliterated for most of the year this year. So this is a guy that is a 50-point underdog to Ohio State in game one in year three. This is year three, and he was going to be an underdog in that game anyway, but 50 points. He's being treated like a team that's at the bottom of the FBS. So I think the work of Joe Moorhead as a head coach is speaking for itself right now.
The thing that always bothered me the most about Moorhead was the one game against Auburn where he totally changed up the offense and it was incredibly effective, and you beat a, at the time, top 10 ranked Auburn team. And then they never went back to it. Never. You know, no. The next week they went down to LSU and scored 2 field goals.
It was totally, we talked about it before, the Kobe 20 assist game. Like,
yeah.
Look, oh, you guys want to run the football? Okay, we're just going to run the football the whole night and see what happens. And so they kill Auburn and then come out the next week, and he goes right back to doing it his way, and you see what happened.
Yeah.
It was really prideful, you know.
Yeah.
He didn't want to admit that what he was doing wouldn't work with the personnel that he had.
Yeah.
And what he should have done, as much as we've talked about Dan Mullen, you know, arrogance, and, you know, he had his own prideful ways, that guy changed his offense up for the personnel that he had. I mean, the offense did not look the same every single year. If you remember when he first arrived, he had a fullback, an H-back, whatever you want to call it, running his offense. You know, he's running power. He was running the read option with Chris Ralph. He was not forcing something on Chris Ralph that he couldn't do. And you were forcing basically Nick Fitzgerald to become a RPO guy, and that was not his game. And you completely ruined Nick Fitzgerald's senior year. I mean,
really is there is some revisionist history happening there. I'll definitely agree with that for Joe.
If you made Nick Fitzgerald, if you ran the offense Dan Mullen ran in 2009, that team wins 11 games.
You win at least 10. I mean, there's just no good getting around it. So
the Iowa game was despicable.
Iowa was like negative 50 yards rushing and won. That tells you all you need to know. So just not smart from Joe, who's a smart guy. So, but I mean, I get it. He's a prideful guy. You know, that's not how he wanted things to end. But I think Joe would be well served to take the advice that he gave us many times, which is point the thumb and not the finger. That's where the blame lies on that. All right.
He never did.
Tomorrow's show, we've made it, guys. 3 P's: preview, playmakers, and predictions. We'll talk about the game against Eastern Kentucky. We don't have like a practice report or anything. We didn't go up to Eastern Kentucky or anything. Who would even think to do that? But we're gonna talk about this game and get you ready for the weekend for Mississippi State sports, for Mississippi State football. Also, don't forget, if you haven't already, please subscribe to my YouTube channel, Brian Haydad YouTube channel, for our TNL post game, which will air immediately after the game on Saturday. And of course, you should also subscribe to Robbie's YouTube channel. You can get Talking Dogs every week. So as much of MSU content as we're putting out, please check it out. Talk to you guys tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.